all that structural stuff is already planned out before you even, you know, started breaking ground. So there's no surprises. You have a professional architect and engineer designing the whole thing for you. So to wrap up the advantages, it is clearly the best way to go if you can do it. It requires more capital. It requires more time up front. It requires more experience, but your net result will be the best. You will make the most money. You will have the most time freedom. You will have the best product. You will provide the best care for your grandmas and grandpas. When I got into this niche, there was only the big smelly facility and the dinky RALs that didn't make any money. And I didn't see a play for this space. So I build and operate luxury 16-bed memory care mansions, and I want to show you that there's another way. So as I grow my business, I'm here to document and show you the tips and strategies that you can use. What's up, mansion builders? Welcome back to another episode of Assisted Living Investing. I want to talk to you today about building the perfect assisted living mansion. Should you build new construction? That's really what we're going to talk about. I want to break it down into the pros, the cons, and then the action steps if you wanted to go about this. So to set the stage, I think that this is the best way to go. I think that it accomplishes the two goals that I have. That is financial freedom and time freedom. I can make 500 grand a year from a new construction product. I might be able to get it done from a conversion or purchasing an assisted living that's already existing, but I know that I can definitely structure my deal on the building side from this perspective. My second objective is spending all the time I want with my kids, traveling, vacationing, not be a slave to my business. I work less than 4 hours a week. Laura's probably in the about 2 to 4 hour a week range as far as her time, but it is only because of this. It is the new construction product. It is having that purpose built. So I want to break this down. Is this right for you? Do you have the skill sets to be able to do it? And if you did, how would you go about that? So I want to analyze this option from 6 different angles today. So I'm going to be looking at it from time, cost to build, your potential profit, your zoning availability, the ability to get your license, and how well can you run an operations company. So let's start with the advantages of building new construction. And the biggest advantage is you can build your perfect product. It can be exactly what you want, right? For me, it's 10,000 square feet. It's 16 private rooms. I have a chef. I have a salon. I have a huge vaulted great room. Everything is glass wall, floor to ceiling. I can build something gorgeous that doesn't look like a big smelly facility or a small smelly facility. So this will allow you to build exactly what you're looking for. If you want to have closets in every room, if you want to have showers in every room, if you want to put in a library like I am, or scale it and build a neighborhood of these, right? Instead of having 64 bed facility, how do you build a neighborhood of 4 assisted living mansions? So you can do exactly what you dreamed of doing. And because of that, you can have the highest income and then potentially the highest net profit. So if you're going to compare building a new construction 16 bed mansion to maybe converting a home and having 16 beds, I know you can make more profit. I would assume you can make at least $10,000 more per month. And that's based on my own experience because I did not start with new construction. I started with the home conversion and I was not able to get all 16 rooms. I just couldn't make it work. So I have 15. I'm losing 8 grand right there. And then I have rooms that are too small. They're kind of kid-sized rooms and they don't have a private bath. I'm losing about $1,000 to $1,500 per room like that. That's that size per month, right? I could net at least $12,000 more per month on my new construction in the exact same location as the existing home conversion that I did first on Mesa. So I can tell you from experience, you will make way more money. And then we're not talking about a small amount of money, an extra 12 grand a month. I mean, that's almost 150 grand a year, all profit, no additional expenses associated with that. And then with having the perfect built product, your operations will be so much smoother. On two sides, the sales, the touring, building a wait list. If you have built your perfect mansion and it's custom designed and it doesn't look like a facility or a hospital or even a hotel, then you are able to build a huge wait list, right? We have 50 plus people on our wait list. And it's because our product is amazing and because our service is amazing. If you can have the most gorgeous product and you can have amazing service. And what I mean by that is when you have a purpose-built building, your care staff will be easier. it will be operationally easier to take care of your residents. There will physically be the space for it. They will have enough space in the dining room. They will have enough space in the great room for activities. The hallways will be wide enough that two people with a wheelchair can pass each other. They're going to have their own private showers, their own rooms, their own closets, right? You're not going to be lacking in things that make it harder for your staff. When you have to go and convert a building and you start with a house that maybe has kids' bedrooms and a 32-inch wide hallway, you are just going to struggle. Your staff will not have the space to transfer. If you have to do two-person transfers on some of these things, if you have to get people into a shower conversion, it is just going to be difficult, and you're going to have a hard time keeping the best of the best staff because they will just go to the next place down the road that is purpose-built for this that makes their job easier. They can still love on residents over there. So you may think, well, I'm the owner. It's not really my concern how tough it is for my caregivers. Really, everything flows up. For me, really, my objective is how do I work 4 hours or less in my business where I can just work on it? And that's because I'm not there handling the day-to-day stuff. I can have caregivers who are going to be experienced. They are going to stay for years. The same with my managers. They are able to handle the day-to-day stuff to run the assisted living. And there's gonna be problems, right? People are there to die. So there's gonna be problems, but I don't wanna add problems on it by having a building that is difficult and then having it harder for my staff, which means it's harder for my managers, which now means I have to get involved to help solve some of these problems. I don't wanna be involved. I come and I'll take a look at my KPIs every single week and I'll know we are on track, everything is going on. Laura runs our manager meeting. She's there making sure our operations company is going successfully. But really, this purpose-built building allows me to have my time freedom. And I can tell you that it will be much, much difficult to be able to afford your time freedom or to not have to be there to solve problems because if your building is not purpose-built. The next big advantage is relating to zoning. You're not gonna have those crazy surprises or where you're like holding your breath or praying after you bought a house and you're hoping that the city doesn't come back and say, hey, you know what, you said it was gonna be residential use, but this is, you know, clearly business use, right? Like, we're gonna stop you from doing this. You're gonna go into it knowing, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna build purposely and I'm gonna check the planning and the zoning on the front side. I'm gonna know exactly what to do. Same with the fire marshal. They're not gonna come in and say, hey, you know, you have to put fire sprinklers in, or, you know, we consider you commercial, so you have to have a commercial fire suppression system. They're not gonna stop you after you've bought the property and you started demoing, you started your planning, right? Like, there is a lot more certainty on the planning and the zoning side. And then the same on the construction side. When you are building new construction, you're gonna go through the architect, the engineer, you're gonna go through all of the hoops. You're gonna spend a lot more time on the front side getting your plans together. And so you're gonna have a lot more certainty, a lot less surprises on construction, a lot less change orders, because when you go and convert a house and you wanna do an addition, you're gonna say, hey, I'm gonna put this addition over here in the backyard. How is that gonna connect to the existing property, the framing, the structure? Are there beams there that can support this? You don't know, because it's up in the attic. It's behind the sheetrock. You can't see what's behind the wall until you demo it, right? So there's gonna be more surprises as you are connecting and converting a home versus it is all planned out. Every single beam, 2x4, LVL, all that structural stuff is already planned out before you even, you know, started breaking ground. So there's no surprises. You have a professional architect and engineer designing the whole thing for you. So to wrap up the advantages, it is clearly the best way to go if you can do it. It requires more capital. It requires more time up front. It requires more experience, but your net result will be the best. You will make the most money. You will have the most time freedom. You will have the best product. You will provide the best care for your grandmas and grandpas. Now, there's clearly some disadvantages, some challenge to be able to do this awesome, great deal. So let's talk about the challenges. So there is a lot more work on the front side, on the planning side. So let's start there, because even trying to find a piece of property, the actual land for it, can be more difficult. There's a zillion houses in your area, right? They may or may not work as far as zoning, they probably don't, but at least you have a lot of options to look at. With land, there is much fewer options. And then you throw in the right zoning type, you know, you have to go talk to the planning department, that's another hurdle there. What are the proper zoning types? Am I commercial? Can I also do mixed use? Right? Can I buy vacant or agricultural land, do a special use permit? There's probably a handful of different things you can do, but it does really limit the options of how many available pieces of property that are actually for sale right now that you could do. And then once you have identified that piece of property, going to talk to the city, talking to the fire marshal, you might have to have a special vote, right? Like a planning and zoning meeting. Do you have to go before the city council? Do you have to send out letters to the neighbor saying, hey, here's what we want to do. You know, come to this special meeting if you want to oppose it. And sometimes they bring pitchforks and they're all pissed, right? Like there is a lot of different challenges on the front side that you would want to go through all of these hoops during your due diligence before you risk any money. And then so you've identified a piece of property there. The next set of challenges is really all the front side work, the architect, the engineers. So it is a lot of time and it can be a big capital commitment to go through and work with an architect because not only are they going to build your, you know, two-dimensional model, they're going to build a three-dimensional model with all of your windows, with all of your ADA stuff. And then they have to know the local code for building. They have to know the state code for building. They have to know the licensure code and they have to know ADA. They have to be able to balance all of these things to make sure that you have built to the most restrictive of all of these things and you don't build this product and then the state licensure comes in and says, hey, you know what? We have ratios on bedroom sizes and dining room spaces and you didn't meet that. Like this wall here is in the wrong spot. It needs to be over, right? You did not meet that minimum code. That would be a crazy expensive, huge problem, right? Like you should work with an architect who knows all of these things and has built a facility. But just be careful because most of them, they build the big smelly facilities and that can be a totally different product than what I'm building on these custom mansions. So then you have to work with your civil engineer, right? They're going to go through and look at the site. They got to look at the road there. They got to maybe do a traffic study. They have to look at connecting to utilities. Then you have to go back to the city. Hey, what type of water lines do we have? What kind of sewer lines? What's my power look like? How long does that process take? What are the fees and hoops that I got to jump through to be able to get all these things done? So after you've got through all this planning stuff, you know what you want to build. The next thing is it's more costly, right? You're going to build your perfect product. It's going to be exactly the way you want. So therefore, it's going to be pretty expensive, at least relative to having an inferior product, having a smaller home conversion. It's definitely going to be less expensive for that product. But honestly, price per square foot, it might be pretty dang similar to build new construction versus converting a home. At least it is for me. And as I'm building a neighborhood of them, I'm getting a lot more economy of scale. With a huge 10,000 square foot house, I mean, it's 16 bedrooms. There's only one kitchen, right? Like they're just putting in a longer hallway and a bunch of bedrooms on repeat. That's really not that expensive. They're only doing one of the kitchens, right? They have a lot of bathrooms at least, but a lot of this stuff, as you get bigger on these buildings, your economy of scale increases. And then you say, hey, you know what? I don't want to build just one mansion. I want to build a neighborhood of these. I'm going to put four of these on this one private street, right? Like then you start really getting to economy of scale as you can think bigger on these things. The cost per square foot, the price to build your whole product goes down by a good amount. But this still may require a bigger capital commitment, right? You still may have to have a higher down payment than if you went and bought an existing building or you converted a home. You may need less capital to close as far as down payment and things like that. Where really, if you're going to build new construction, for us, it's 9 months of construction. Then I got to get my license, which may take a couple months. Then I got to fill up my grandma's. So I'm budgeting at least 15 months of interest reserves on several million dollars worth of loan per mansion. So there's a lot of holding costs there that has to go into this and therefore a higher down payment amount as well. I think the last challenge on this is really it's a lot less commonly understood. For most people that don't have a construction background, building new construction, working with architects and engineers is not something that people have done before. Everyone has lived in a house. They can understand, hey, I'm going to look for a house to buy, and it happens that I already have four or six bedrooms, and I'm going to do an addition into the backyard. That is more easy for people to comprehend, to wrap their head around, but it's a small deal, right? There is definitely not the most profitable way to go in that respect. But going and saying, hey, I'm going to buy vacant land, and I'm going to work with the city, and I'm going to develop a site plan. A lot of people don't have that type of experience. I didn't. I had to learn it the hard way. And it was a huge learning curve. But you know what? It has been worth it for me. So if you can have someone on your team that has this type of experience, that knows this stuff, then I think that, yeah, you should definitely go and really consider this. But otherwise, it is a big challenge. So to wrap up the challenges, I would really put them into two categories. One is all the planning stuff. Working with the city, working with the architects and the engineers. That is a good amount of work on the front side. It can take definitely longer. So I think it'd be fantastic to do this if you had someone on your team with experience that can help you with this side of it. The second side of the challenges is the financing. It's a bigger deal. It's going to be perfect and you're going to make way more profit this way, but you have to come up with more capital. So then it's how do I work with the right banks? And I like SBA 7A so that you can fund majority of this project. And then from there, how do I get the gap funding? It may be $400,000, right? How do I raise investors that can come onto my deal, be part of my team that can provide that necessary capital? So I do really think that this is a deal that a lot of people can do. They may be scared from it, but there are challenges there that can be overcome by having the right people on your team help you put it together, and then the funding people on your team to bring the money to the table. So if you said, hey, you know what? This is something I want to do. I really like this idea of building my dream mansion, having the perfect product, having the financial freedom and the time freedom from this business opportunity. What do I do? So let's talk about that now. Let's talk about the steps. What do we need to do? So here's the first thing you do. You would look for land. It might be vacant land. It might be land with a small house that maybe you can knock down, or maybe it's big enough that you can keep that small house as a rental and build your mansion on the front side of the property. So as you're looking for land, go and talk to the city, right? You need to talk to the planning and zoning. You need to find out what those zoning requirements are. Go talk to the building department, the fire marshal. What are the codes that he or she as a fire marshal will want you to implement? And then consider the utilities, the site work, right? Do you need a detention pond? Are there water, electric, sewer hookups that are there? And if there are not, can you put in your own? Can you put in septic and well, right? You're probably not going to be off the grid for power. You'll probably definitely need power there on the site. Then once you've identified a piece of property and you've gone through your due diligence, you know you can do this site. You may purchase it. You may put a long escrow period on it, but then you're going to start working with your architects, your engineers. Your architect is going to design your building. Here's where all your bathrooms and bedrooms and hallways and great room and kitchen, all that stuff's going to go, right? Then they're going to pass it along to the engineers. It'll go to the structural engineer, right? How do we build this thing? What type of framing do we use, right? Where are our beams? Where's our load-bearing wall? Then they're going to pass it off to the MEP engineer, the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing person. Then they're going to put in, where's all my HVAC? Where's my electrical going to go? Where's my plumbing going to go? All of those kind of things. They're going to run all the calculations on the load and all that kind of stuff. And then it'll go to your civil engineer. Your civil is the person putting your building on your site. Where will it sit? How will they do all of the elevations? Where's the drainage going to go? How are they going to connect to the utilities? Where's the driveway going to go? All of those kind of things so your contractor can build this. After you have all of your plans together, then you go and get permits. It may be you, it may be your builder. You go get permits for all of these different things. And you have to find your builder, right? You have to get a hard bid from that builder and say, okay, now I have my numbers. I have my permits ready. We're pretty much shovel ready. At this point, it kind of goes back to the bank side. So you'll run your appraisal. You'll find out what will my building be worth. And then you'll get a hard commitment from the lender saying, hey, here's how much we'll lend to you. Then if you agree with the terms from that lender, then you can go ahead and do that bank loan. They're going to be financing the construction during this project. So then your project starts, your builder takes his team there and he's building your mansion. He's putting in all of the site work. He's putting in the building. They're going to go through that whole thing, right? During that time, you are preparing for your license. You are starting your marketing. You are hiring your manager. You are building your team. And really, this whole process might take 18 months. Maybe you can get it done in 15. Maybe it takes 20. But I think 18 months is a fair amount to say, hey, I'm going to go through this whole process. I'm going to get my license. I'm going to fill up my bed with grandmas, and I'm going to start my operations company. So this is the path that I've taken. I've gone through both sides of this. I've gone and bought a house, did a huge addition, gutted the thing, turned it into assisted living. I was very successful with that. That has been an amazing product, and it provides amazing money and cash flow for me. But it's not my best product. Right now, I think learning those lessons, I would only do new construction. That is my favorite way to go. But there was a lot of experience and I had to learn a lot of hard things along the way. So if you are open to that challenge, it is for sure worth it. It will give you life-changing results. And so my goal on this podcast is really to document my journey so that those of you who are interested in building this new construction product can just follow along, listen to the previous episodes, follow along my path, learn the lessons that I had to learn the hard way, right? I've talked about working with the city, the zoning. I've talked about the fire marshal. I've talked about raising money. I've talked about working with banks, bringing on investors, going through construction. There's a lot of hard lessons that I already learned that I want to share with you so that you can have a much easier journey on this. So if you want to see our mansions being built, we are building them right now. You can check them out on our Facebook group, Assisted Living Investing - Memory Care Mansion. See a lot of behind the scenes. See us working with the contractor. See the walls going up. It's all happening right now, and we're documenting every single day. Well, that's it for today's episode. I just have one ask. If this is valuable or helpful to you, I would ask that you share this with someone else. My goal is to provide this information to as many people as possible, to provide the resources that someone can do a life-changing deal, that they can hit financial freedom, and they can make a difference in their city. So thank you so much. I'll see you next time.